Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. She was in seventh heaven in this movie. She was a young, beautiful, intelligent young woman, and she met the man of her dreams. She was so excited she could hardly wait to tell her parents. Her father was played by Spencer Tracy, and he owned a newspaper, and it was back in the 60s. He was much into civil rights and justice for all people. His wife, played by Katharine Hepburn, was also supported her husband and very much followed the way he went. And with joy, their daughter said, "I met the man of my dreams. He's tall, dark, and handsome. We're engaged. And he's a doctor." And they were so thrilled. They said, "And he shares your values." And they were so thrilled. And they said, "Oh, we can't wait to meet him. Bring him to dinner." And the scene goes to where she comes in with her fiancé. But first she comes in, and her parents are smiling, and she's hugging them. "I can't wait for you to meet my fiancé." And you can see them smiling. All of a sudden, when they see him, they're in shock. And in walks a tall, handsome Sidney Poitier with a big smile on his face to meet his new, soon-to-be in-laws. And they were shocked. They were shocked. The camera shows them in their shock. Look, this was not expected. No, this is not what they had planned for their daughter, and they were surprised. And of course, the movie's guess who's coming to dinner. You know, it's a great movie. But they weren't prepared. On a conscious level, they were very much into equality for all people. They were for rights of all Americans, with pursuit of happiness and justice for all. They were all for that. But on an unconscious level, their values were being called into question. On a deeper level, who's in, who's out? Who should marry my daughter, who should not? They were open to equality for all people, clearly, but not to the point of having a black son-in-law. And their real conditioning by their culture had been hidden from them. And we'll find out later that Sidney Poitier's parents that are acting, they are against him marrying a white girl. They were not ready, the parents, to accept having this man as their son-in-law. They weren't ready to have biracial grandchildren. This unexpected turn of events shows us where their secret values were. And it took them a lot of adjusting. As we hear today's gospel reading, Jesus tells the story about secret values that people might not be aware of. There was a man robbed, beaten, left half for dead. And down the road, as the people were hearing, comes the priest, the paragon of virtue, and the man of God. They said, "Oh, wow, this is good." But the priest sees the man and passes by another side. Well, then, not quite a priest, but close to that, a Levite, this holy tribe, a person comes down, but he doesn't do anything. He goes on the other side. So the crowd, they knew a third person was coming. They probably thought, somebody, this average Joe Israelite like us is coming, and he'll help this person. But guess what? Jesus uses the example of a Samaritan. A Samaritan, this heretic, this no good, well, if you were reading Harry Potter, mudblood. I mean, the Samaritans, when the Assyrians conquered Israel, they brought in their people and they intermarried with the Israelites, so they were impure. And also, where did the Jews have their temple? Mount Sinai, Jerusalem. But The Samaritans worship God on a different mountain, in a different way. A Samaritan! A Samaritan! Surely the Samaritan wouldn't help this poor person. Surely a Samaritan seeing an Israelite would make it worse. But to the hearers, Jesus said, no, no, this is not so. So listen to these poor hearers of this parable. The priest wasn't the hero. The Levite wasn't the hero. And a Samaritan, how can I identify with a Samaritan? They really had nobody to look up to. No heroes here. And the good guys, they didn't do anything. And the bad guy, he was merciful. Now, in the kingdom of God, I think Jesus is trying to tell us, there are no political, religious, ethnic, racial boundaries. The old way of seeing things, who's in, who's out, who are the good guys, who are the bad guys, who's the rapists and murderers, and who are the really virtuous people, this is turned upside down. The old way of doing things is not the same. The kingdom of God was brand new. Something unexpected. Something, a new creation. A brand new reality. Anytime you pray, thy kingdom come, this is what you're praying for. In the kingdom of Jesus preaching, there is no rigid barriers between inside and outside. More striking still, the center of religion, Jerusalem, was now not just the center or only holy place in the world. There was also Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans worshipped. So God's holiness was more than they anticipated. It's in more places than they anticipated. In the Samaritan, you see, all boundaries and accepted religious and social criteria of good and bad are blown away. No more. A favorite practice you see in the ancient Middle East, which Israel was part of, was that there are certain people that you accepted. These are our kind of people. And there's certain people you didn't. People you didn't eat with. People you didn't associate with. Surely you wouldn't have your children marry. Not these people. In fact, the early church was so radically against this. You've heard me use, I love this the section from St. Paul where he says, In Christ. Now there's a lot of different views of Christ these days, and a lot of people try to have Christ fit their own agenda like a Rorschach test. But in the true Christ, St. Paul says, there is no longer any distinction between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, but we are all one. One in Christ. Didn't we pray this in the Kyrie? May the unity of all. In the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, this issue basically was the same. Will our daughter marry one of them? What will our neighbors think? When they have the baby, what are people going to think of this mixed baby? It's only us against them. But see, in the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, there's no just us, me and you, God. It's we together are one. All are one. There's no them. There's only we together. You know, Jesus' view of life is important. Very important, especially for our day. We keep talking about the divided people and this person against that. That's not Jesus' view. The world's getting smaller. We're bumping arms with people that are different religions, different ethnic, different color skins, different smells, different habits. We run into them all the time. I mean, when Jen and I, the last neighborhood we lived in, we had a Buddhist across the street. We had a Muslim down the row. We had a Zoroastrian almost next to us. We had all kind of Catholics. And now we have a Jewish person two houses from us. And our neighbor is a Methodist, believe it or not. that's Joan's sister. Okay, yeah. She used to be a Lutheran, but oh well, you know, we love Methodist. Let's just see Blazing Saddles, you know my joke. But anyhow, in this neighborhood, you're meeting all kind of people. And scientists tell us by the year 2050, you know, white people are going to be a minority. We interact with all kinds of people, economically, socially, politically, religiously. The world is shrinking. Shrinking. And Jesus' teaching about the unity of the human family is especially important today. We must see Christ in the person with the turban. See Christ in the person with the tattoos. See Christ in the person with the tuxedo. See Christ in all people. And when we don't, then the fearmongers say, those people, watch out. Those people are out to get you. Those people you can't trust. Those people. And they build up, we need law and order against those people. And we get violence. And we get fear. And we hurt ourselves. The kingdom of God is manifested in the show of trust in God. That we are children of God through baptism. That we are out there with the good news of love and forgiveness and inclusion to hug Jesus and to hug everybody else as Jesus' arms hugged everybody from the cross. Jesus is telling us divine love is its own reward. It's joyful to share the love. It's joyful to forgive. Do you ever forgive a person that loads is lifted from your back and you feel love? Now, they might be a stinker and you might not want to have a beer with them, but you respect them and treat them civilly and you forgive them. The Samaritan, in our question, values are undermined. What we thought was in and out is totally undermined. But mostly today, Jesus gives us a big question. What is your idea of heaven? What is your idea of the kingdom of God? Jesus' idea of the kingdom of God was not the economic, social, political, or religious one of his time. It got him crucified. He was very different. And where does that leave you and me? The kingdom of God always is uncomfortable for us, for me too. Perhaps with the question, do I really want to live in this kingdom? Do I really want to live this way? The kingdom always challenges our view of good and bad. Right and wrong, who's in, who's out. Jesus identifies the kingdom with compassion. Love as a verb. Mercy as an action. Doesn't mean if you're a priest, Levite, you can be a Samaritan. But if you show love, you are a member of that kingdom. And notice, the Samaritan remains a Samaritan. He doesn't worship in Jerusalem. He hasn't changed. He's still a Samaritan. Just like, you know, Matthew, Jesus was still a tax collector. Simon was still a zealot. But he loved them as they were and taught them how to show mercy in their uniqueness, in their identity. Jesus tells us clearly today, there are no insiders or outsiders, no superior and inferior, no elite and no non-elite. The God of Jesus reveals to us the God of all people, the God of all humanity as the love-beloved community of God. So where do you stand? Where are you at? What person would you say can never be in God's kingdom? Where is your unlimited love limited? That's your growing edge. That's where the Holy Spirit, you need to pray to help you to grow. Because when the kingdom comes in all its fullness, that's the way it is. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.